Was Jesus Christ really the Son of God, or just a man? Does the Bible give us the real story of Christ's life? Has the real truth about Christ's life and mission been hidden from the ages? A new movie, The Da Vinci Code, weaves a fictional story that Jesus was married and fathered a child. Today, many alternative stories offer different views of the traditional biblical accounts we have long believed. What is the truth about the life of Christ? Did he live as the Son of God and die as your Savior? We'll explore these and other questions on today's edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
The latest popular theory is told in a book that has been on the bestseller list for 3 years and is now a motion picture called The Da Vinci Code. It's written by Dan Brown, and it's a work of fiction that uses actual events, characters, and places to draw readers into offbeat speculations about the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Brown spins fact and fiction together in a way that makes for a fast-paced, intriguing story, long on action and excitement, but short on actual truth. In a nutshell, The Da Vinci Code puts forth the idea that Jesus Christ was married to Mary Magdalene, leaving her pregnant with his child when he died. The mother and child were secreted off to southern France, and the lineage of that union exists to this day. The male-dominated early church supposedly suppressed this knowledge and saw to it that any writing containing this information was purged from the official record. Those who knew the truth managed to keep it alive and pass it on down through the ages. Leonardo da Vinci was one such keeper of the secret, and his famous painting, The Last Supper, supposedly shows Mary Magdalene to the right of Jesus. Of course, this contradicts the biblical account, which tells us it was the disciple John who stood and sat at the Lord's right hand on his final evening. We're going to be discussing this and other information today on Beyond Today, Jesus, Judas, and Da Vinci, and exactly what the truth is, and we're going to come to some better understanding than what you've been presented in the popular media today. With me on today's program are two writers and instructors on biblical and theological topics that are going to help make some sense of this very important topic. Gary Antion is a teacher of theology and Bible classes at the Ambassador Bible Center. Scott Ashley is the managing editor of the Good News Magazine and has written extensively on such subjects as this. Gentlemen, it's good to have you both with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, let's jump right into this. You've examined some of the claims of the best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, that's now a movie. What are some of the supposed hidden truths revealed in this book?
Well, let's take a look at a few quotes from this book. Many rather outlandish statements in here. Beginning on page 233 of this book, the author writes, "At this gathering," referring to the Council of Nicaea, "many aspects of Christianity were debated and voted upon. The date of Easter, the role of bishops, the administration of sacraments, and of course, the divinity of Jesus. Until that moment in history, Jesus was viewed by his followers as a mortal prophet, a great and powerful man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal." And continuing, "Jesus' establishment as the Son of God was officially proposed and voted on by the Council of Nicaea. And he says it was a relatively close vote at that." On the next page, 234, and again, this is total fiction, total rewriting of history.
Not a shred of truth.
Not a shred of truth to it. The next page he writes, "Constantine, the emperor of the Roman Empire at the time of the Council of Nicaea, commissioned and financed a new Bible which omitted those Gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those Gospels that made him godlike. The earlier Gospels were outlawed, gathered up, and burned." Again, total fiction here. Moving over a few pages to 249, the author writes that this was, quote, "the greatest cover-up in human history. Not only was Jesus Christ married, but he was a father. Mary Magdalene was the holy vessel. She was the chalice that bore the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. She was the womb that bore the lineage and the vine from which the sacred fruit sprang." Again, total fiction here. And one final quote, page 255, and this is a central thesis of the book here. "Mary Magdalene was pregnant at the time of the crucifixion. For the safety of Christ's unborn child, she had no choice but to flee the Holy Land. With the help of Jesus' trusted uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene secretly traveled to France, then known as Gaul. There she found safe refuge in the Jewish community. It was here in France that she gave birth to a daughter. Her name was Sarah. So these are just a few of the great fictions and total fabrications that are found in this book.
Which does say on the front that it is a novel.
Yes, definitely a novel.
But people are reading it. Many millions have and believe it to be the truth. Gary, what are some of the implications that arise from the popular acceptance of this admitted book of fiction as people have read this? What are some problems with that?
Well, the biggest problem is the departure from the scriptures and how the author of this book takes what's factual, such as there is the Louvre in Paris, such as there are archaeologists and so on. He weaves those together in such a way that you're not sure of the difference between fact and fiction. And it seems to be a degrading of Jesus Christ to human status alone, as opposed to being God in the flesh, which the Bible says he came as Emmanuel, God in the flesh, to die for us, to sample everything we did so that he could be a righteous judge in heaven at God's right hand. It borders on blasphemy because it does take away from the honor and glory of God by presenting him as just a mortal man who married and had children and somehow was secreted away.
These ideas have been around for a long time. Nothing really is new in that way in the book.
Right.
A few 30, 40 years ago, there was a book called The Passover Plot that denied the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Scott, is there any biblical evidence for any of the claims that Dan Brown makes in this book?
Unfortunately, none whatsoever. There's no evidence, for instance, that Jesus was ever married, much less married to Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
No, none at all. A few scholars have occasionally proposed the idea that in John 2, where it talks about the wedding feast in Cana, where Jesus turned water to wine, that was his own marriage feast, but there's not a shred of evidence to support that in the gospel.
I remember reading that years and years ago, that very idea that was his own wedding he was attending.
Right.
Well, the Apostle Paul, who was trained by Jesus Christ later on before he actually began his ministry for 3 years in Arabia, the Apostle Paul uses examples of Christian marriage, what a Christian marriage should be like. And he actually compares Christ, and he uses Christ and the church, not Christ and Mary Magdalene. He also speaks about Christ's brothers and mother being present in the book of Acts, chapter 1, when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. He does not mention anything. The writer Luke does not mention anything about his wife being there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't the fact that the Gospels, and particularly the book of Luke, mentions Mary Magdalene, as well as many other women, isn't that a proof of the reliability of that account of Christ's life?
Actually, it is, because in the biblical accounts of the Gospels, you find women interacting with Jesus and the disciples in ways that were not commonly done at the time there. Women at that time held a very low status in society in the Greek and Roman empires. For instance, they could not be in the same room when the husband would have guests for dinner. They couldn't go out of the house unescorted. They couldn't go out of the house without a veil. The women were in total subjection to their husbands, but the Gospels actually show a very different picture in the way Jesus interacted with women there and actually elevated their status much greater than was commonly done in the culture of that time.
Well, I think that's a very important proof right there to understand from the Scriptures, and it is a totally different picture than what is commonly understood and certainly what's presented from the pages of the Da Vinci Code. We have a booklet. Our feature booklet for this program is not a work of fiction. It is a work of fact because it's grounded in Scripture. It's called Jesus Christ, The Real Story. We have a copy of it waiting for you. You can go online at beyondtoday.tv and even read it there if you wish. There's a new controversy beyond even the Da Vinci Code over a document called The Gospel of Judas. When we come back, we'll discuss whether there's any truth to this. Stay with us.
Time. In a time of instant disaster, how can you have time to find the truth? It takes time to get the facts, time to think, especially about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ, whose truth is so distorted and so misrepresented. What can we know of him from a Christianity today with its own history of lies and manipulation? Now you can save time by getting the latest biblical research by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. With Christianity's 500 denominations in confusion about the man it claims as its leader, you don't have time to waste. Was Jesus only a man or God? Find out what he really taught and practiced by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv.
And we're back to Beyond Today. Today we're discussing Jesus, Judas, and Da Vinci. What is the truth? Our featured publication, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. This is not a work of fiction. This particular book is going to take you through a number of scriptures and subjects dealing with the real story of Jesus Christ. One chapter, for instance, talks about the God who became a human being and examines that very important question, the Messiah's misunderstood mission. Probably as much as any booklet that we have in our inventory, this is one you need to read, this is one you need to understand for a solid biblical account of the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Recently, a National Geographic Society published a document called The Gospel of Judas. Now, this document's been around for a number of years, but it's just now being published. The fragments were available, and they were translated out to about 3,000 words. It's a very short document, but it tells a different version of the relationship between Jesus and the disciple who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Scott, could this Gospel of Judas really be a part of a body of literature that is really gives us understanding and teaching about Jesus?
Unfortunately not. Anyone who really has a grasp of the history of the first through second, third centuries can understand there's some major discrepancies in there. For instance, the Gospel of Judas, here's one of the many books published on it, has a lot of strange theological, philosophical concepts that weren't native to the period of the first century when Jesus and Judas actually lived. Those ideas actually developed and became very popular several centuries later. A loose analogy to that would be someone perhaps 2,000 years from now finding a document that claimed to be about the life of George Washington, but would actually have George Washington in it talking about his sports car, his widescreen TV, his cell phone, things that didn't exist during George Washington's time. And that's what we find with the Gospel of Judas. It talks about ideas, concepts that really weren't around in the first century, but didn't come along until several centuries later.
Gary?
Well, I would say the book of Judas seems like it comes from a body of literature owing its existence to the Gnostics. The Gnosticism was prevalent in the second and third centuries. It began small in a small manner in the early in the latter first century. John was dealing with it. He spoke about it often. The Gnostics were a group of people who, in their lifetime, tried to emphasize the spirit and not matter. Spirit was good. Matter was evil. And the whole concept was, can you release the evil, release the good, rather, by killing the evil? So they actually see Judas in this book as doing Christ a favor by turning him in, having him killed, because that helped his spirit to be released.
What are some of the other themes of Gnosticism that this is a work of?
Well, one of the strange concepts, if someone reads the Gospel of Judas, one would come across ideas and concepts that are totally foreign to the Bible, completely foreign. It talks about different ranks of angels and different levels of heavens, and it names all of these angels. And Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, for knowledge. So Gnosticism was built around this idea of this specialized secret knowledge, and that was its
only a few people could
that
have
was its
this
attraction. Yes, only a specialized few could know that.
The know-it-alls, the intelligentsia, right, if you might say, of their day, and they thought they had a higher knowledge. In fact, they had a group called the Pneumatikoi. They were the people of the spirit, and they looked down their noses at everybody else who were just human beings.
Didn't have
they
the
were
same
the
knowledge
brute.
They had.
They didn't have the same knowledge, and they weren't able to access the spirit through the secret knowledge and secret ceremonies.
Well, Gnosticism died out about the 3rd or 4th century, but many of his ideas are still prevalent in our modern world as well. Mm-hmm. But people then, as now, wanted to have a spiritual life. If we look at the popularity of the Da Vinci Code or this now new book of the publication of the Gospel of Judas, what does the popularity of books like that tell us about people's desire to understand the spiritual dimension in life, Gary?
Well, there's something in human beings, a desire to worship something. People worship cars.
Worship something beyond themselves.
Beyond themselves. Oh, even in this life, people have strong devotion to cars, to people. They idolize people. They even talk about movie stars being idols. But beyond that, people seem to have a craving to try to understand that which is the mysterious, that which is beyond. And so people are often going for the mysterious. They're looking into trying to find and make some meaning out of life, trying to understand what their existence is all about. And so those books feed right into it.
Always looking for something new.
Something new.
It's like Paul said, people having itching ears.
Yes. Yes, precisely. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said that people would have itching ears, ever learning, trying to come to a knowledge of the truth. And unfortunately, in the process of doing that, they reject the real truth that's revealed in the Bible. And as Paul put it, they turn aside to fables. And it's unfortunate that people would put a higher priority on fiction like this than the real truths that are revealed in the Bible.
Well, Scott, what does the Bible tell us about the early texts, that such as the Gospel of Judas, claiming to tell another part of a real story of the early church? Does it speak to that?
It does. Actually, what we find, Paul, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, refers to other letters that were circulating that pretended to be written by the Apostle Paul but weren't. So there were some of these fake documents circulating during that time. However, when we understand the way the New Testament was put together, there are hints, pretty strong hints in the New Testament that the apostles Peter and Paul in particular actually put together the early books of the New Testament. Right. And understanding that process precludes any possibility that there were other gospels like the Gospel of Judas, that those could be authentic. They simply are not.
Those were rejected for obvious reasons when you understand how different they are.
And Paul also spoke about another Jesus being taught in the book of Corinthians,
yes,
as well as another gospel being preached that wasn't his gospel of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, what's the major concern for people viewing the movie, The Da Vinci Code, without a real grounding and grasp of the scriptures, Gary?
That they will probably not be able to, without a thorough knowledge of the scriptures or a good knowledge of the scriptures, to separate fact from fiction.
Well said, and what we'd like to do is arm you with information that will help you to read books like this or movies dealing with these themes and help you to know the truth. This booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story, can do just that. There's a copy waiting for you. You can read it by going online at beyondtoday.tv. In our next segment, we're going to explore how you can know the true story of Christ and His work. We'll tell you how you can come to know the real Jesus. Stay with us.
It takes time to get the facts, time to think, especially about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ. With Christianity's 500 denominations in confusion about the man it claims as its leader, find out what he really taught and practiced by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work, raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
And we're back to Beyond Today. We're talking today about Jesus, Judas, and Da Vinci, the real truth. When you go online to beyondtoday.tv and order this booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story, we're also going to give you a free subscription to our flagship publication, The Good News Magazine. This is a magazine that comes out 6 times a year, covers many different topics of doctrinal value to the Bible, Christian living, and general spiritual knowledge that's going to be very important for you. We'll send you a free subscription to The Good News Magazine when you go online and order the booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Every generation defines Christ in their own image. It's been said that the Christ of the Da Vinci Code is a Christ for today's post-Christian world. It's a Christ that's flawed and irresponsible, a man who doesn't know himself and can't follow through on a commitment. He fathers a child, then abandons responsibility. That's a false Messiah for a world that is obsessed with the sex lives of the rich and the famous, the generation that cannot recognize the true Jesus. This is part of the gospel of unbelief that is so prevalent today. Scott, or Gary, let's get back to this and try to bring our audience into an understanding of really the real Jesus. But did the apostles deal with this challenge in their own day, Gary?
Yes, they did. When the apostles were in the latter centuries, they had to deal with people with false bringing false gospels, bringing in false literature, trying to draw away people from their own beliefs, systems. We find in the Apostle Paul talking about a false Jesus. We talk about letters that were sent as supposedly from him. And the unsettling effect that it has on people to be taught a Jesus that is not real. And the Bible is filled with scriptures that talk about what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. How could he know where he was going to be born? How could he make himself be born in Bethlehem? How could he make himself do lots of things that the scriptures talk about, go as a baby into Egypt and be brought back? And in this one manner fulfilled all those prophecies of the Son of God.
It would have taken quite an elaborate staging to have fulfilled all of those in the first century.
Especially before you're born.
That's right. Isn't it really, Scott, just a matter of simply following Christ's teachings and doing what he said, reading his words and following his simple teaching?
Well, it certainly is. I think the Christian author C.S. Lewis put it very well when, to paraphrase what he said, basically, Jesus Christ made some outlandish claims. And if you think about what he said he was the very Son of God, which by extension is he is God. He actually made that claim that he was the prophesied Messiah. And as C.S. Lewis put it, he was either a madman or he was what he said he was. If he's a madman, we can totally dismiss his claims. If he was who he said he was, then we're in very deep trouble.
But
there's no in between. No in between. Either he is or he is not the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. No in between.
Jesus Christ even prophesied himself in Matthew 24 that there would be those coming in his name claiming that they would be Christ. And I read an article one time that talked about over 1,500 false messiahs have appeared on the scene saying they are the Christ. Yes, I am. I'm the right one. And so on, claiming to be the real Jesus Christ. It is important for us to all come to know who that real Jesus Christ is.
All right then, Scott. If Christ was who he said that he was, the Son of God, and if he did rise from the dead, then what does that mean for us?
Well, we've all heard the popular saying these days, what would Jesus do?
Right.
And it's a good question.
People
but I think,
wear that on their sleeves.
Right, wear the little armbands, that sort of thing. And it's a good question, but I think perhaps a better one is, what did Jesus say we should do? And contrary to books like the Gospel of Judas and the Da Vinci Code and others, we actually have an accurate record of what Jesus Christ said we should do. And that is the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are a verifiably accurate record of his life. And in that, Jesus Christ spells out his teachings, the way we should live, what we should do. Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we are to take up our cross and follow him, to live as he lived. And that's really the heart and core of the matter here.
It's really doing what he tells us to do, doing what he
yes,
said, living
yes,
by,
yes.
by those teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does a man or a woman then truly come to know Christ? That's the big catchphrase among religious people, coming to know the Lord, coming to know Christ. But how does a man or woman really come to know Christ, and what's the ultimate proof of his life and resurrection as the Son of God, Gary?
Well, a person comes to Christ by being called by God the Father. God the Father draws them and brings them so that they may have a better understanding of him. But that comes through also understanding the Scriptures. The Scriptures were written so that they might reveal the Father and the Son, that we can understand who they both are by a study and an understanding of the Scriptures. So I would say read the Gospels. Study them. I try to do them every year, read one of them every year in a sense of just going right through the book and meditate. And I'm amazed and dumbfounded at the awesomeness of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think praying to God and asking Him for understanding and lead them to understand the real Jesus Christ, not a Jesus Christ that's been pawned off on people, a Jesus Christ who came to set us an example, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, who gave up His divinity to come to this earth to become a little baby. An impregnated ovum in the womb of his mother, and finally a baby, and on into adulthood. And he brought a message of good news, a message for the world, good news for a world that was in trouble.
You said that God has to call. That means that he must initiate it.
Absolutely. He must
takes the first step rather than the other way around, where the human being takes the first step.
He must draw you and open your mind.
That's a different concept than many people have today, isn't it?
It surely is.
About how to come to Christ. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, to just get to the heart of it. It talks about when Christ returns, and it says that every knee shall bow to Him upon His return. Now, that's a picture of the returning, saving Messiah coming to earth, taking His place as ruler, as King of Kings that the other scriptures talk about. What does that tell us about how we should live today if Christ is going to come back and every knee is going to bow to Him in His kingdom? Scott?
Well, Jesus Christ brought a message that He called the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And when we understand what that kingdom of God is, it's the solution to all of mankind's problems. Another very important teaching of Jesus Christ, He said, become perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. It's such an awesome future when we understand what we are called to and give such a new understanding and dimension to God's calling to us to be a part of that wonderful kingdom.
So the Bible really puts the focus on the kingdom, the coming kingdom of God, and it really then tells us how we should be living today in preparation for that coming kingdom.
And a Christian is one who follows Jesus Christ. And he follows Him as Christ set an example, and Christ paved the way by preaching good news of a better world to come in which we all may have a part in the future.
Well, it's a big subject. We just touched the surface of this major and very important topic from the Scriptures. Don't forget, our featured publication for this program is Jesus Christ, The Real Story, one of the most important books we can put into your hands. Look at this message, and we'll be right back with a final thought.
It takes time to get the facts, time to think, especially about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ. With Christianity's 500 denominations in confusion about the man it claims as its leader, find out what he really taught and practiced by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story.
Christ said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter knew he was following the King of Kings. He later wrote, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." The Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Before accepting what unbelievers have to say about Christ and the Bible, you should go to the source and read what it has to say. When you have read His words, take up Christ's challenge and do what He says. Obey His teachings. Then you will prove beyond personal doubt that the Bible is true. Christ still says, "Follow me." Can you follow Him to the kingdom of God? The choice is yours. Scott, Gary, thanks for being with us on today's program.
Thank you.
When you are looking to understand your future, remember this program. That's Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.